Greg Cosell with us as we walk through some film. He's the best in the business. Executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup, which, by the way, you can see Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. Nashville time on ESPN2. Or if you're like me, after the Tennessee Ole Miss game at like 3 in the morning, I caught up on some Greg Cosell at that point. Also senior producer at NFL Films for 42 years. Greg, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing great. I see you're the mayor. Is that it, Brent?
That's somebody a long time ago pinned that nickname on me, said I guess. I sit right on the fence.
Hey, you don't need to explain that. Yes, he asked you a question. Just tell him to answer the question, Greg. What is that about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm giving the reason.
Question.
Yeah, it's a very simple question.
Kind of a weird thing to have a nickname. We all can't be Big Slay.
Yeah, I am. Some can.
Greg, a lot of teams put a lot of guys in the box when they play the Titans defensively. But Buffalo didn't really do that, did they?
I would say Buffalo kind of played their normal defense, you know, because Buffalo is at their core a nickel defense. That's their base defense. They play nickel. Last year, they played almost 90% of their defensive snaps with nickel. This year, it was the same. And they did exactly the same thing against the Titans on Monday night. In fact, this season, they've only played 10 snaps in what many would consider a base defense, meaning a 4-3 with three linebackers. So they stayed with nickel as their foundational defense. I'm sure there were some tweaks to their defensive alignments, which, you know, you have to be in the meeting rooms to know exactly what those are. But for the most part, they kind of did what they do. And I'm sure they felt they could line up and play. And by the way, guys, I would say for the most part, they did that and it worked. I mean, we know that Henry had the 76-yarder and he can do that in any given game. And I would argue, just as an aside, you could easily make the argument that as we speak right now, he's the single most dominant individual player in the league. But the point I'm trying to make is, I don't think he killed them in the way he often kills teams. I thought that they won the game in the second half more because of their play-action pass game as opposed to Derrick Henry.
Okay, but that's kind of like saying, like, oh, the plane crashed because of a bad landing. But other than the bad landing, it was okay, right? Like, but the 76-yard touchdown run.
Well, I mean, no, but my
no,
point
I see
on
what
is
you're
this.
Saying.
My point, Dawn, is this, that Derrick Henry is going to get carries and yards. You know, rarely, if you look at his last whatever number of games, first of all, in his last five games this year, he's averaging, I think he has 725 yards in his last five games. So you know he's going to get yards. Obviously, you don't want him to break a 76-yarder. So my point is not that Derrick Henry was not a factor in the game. My point is that I think their offense really started to hum in the second half when they did that staple, what I call bang play action, which we've seen for the last number of years with the three-step drop, the quick five-step drop, and they hit Brown on the in-breakers. Brown had seven catches in the second half after having no catches in the first half. So, no, I don't want to come across as if, oh, Derrick Henry doesn't matter. Of course he matters. Their offense starts with Derrick Henry. But I think most defenses probably feel that he's going to get yards. He's number one, he's going to get carries, and he's going to get yards. Do you want to stop the 75-yard touchdowns? Of course you do. But he's going to get carries and yards.
You mentioned a little bit A.J. Brown and play action pass. What made that work for them?
Well, that's something, Dawn, they've done for the last number of years. We can all visualize, if you're Titans fans, the number of times in the last 2 years with A.J. Brown, now in his third year, where he's caught those quick in-breakers and he's broken for long runs or long touchdowns. So that is a staple of what they do. They just haven't been able to get to it this year the way they've done it the last 2 years. So it finally showed up in this game. Now, this is where the Henry factor is obviously big, because anytime you go play action to Henry, those stacked linebackers will step up and you create space between the linebacker level and the safety level. And that quick bang play action throw on, whether you want to call it a slant route or a glance route, that throw's there. So it finally showed up in this game, and it was really critical in the second half, because I think that if I'm not mistaken, I think Tannehill ended the game with 9 straight completions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought he struggled early in this one.
Yeah. He was 9-9 in the fourth and then completed his last pass in the third. Yeah. He He started slowly.
So, yep. And they really have not been able to get this year to their passing game the way we've seen it since he took over from Mariota in 2019 and what we saw last year. So the pass game, for whatever reason, maybe it's continuity, maybe it's Brown being out of practice a lot, Jones being out of practice a lot, but there hasn't been continuity to their pass game this year the way we've seen the last year plus.
And that's pretty much why it's important to have a guy like A.J. Brown and Julio out there at the same time, right?
Yep.
Because it opens up so much for him. I don't think we get to see those big breaks without those two guys out there, because you look at the games that they didn't play, and it was hard to get those breaks in the game like that. So he's going to get carries. He's going to get yards. Does this offensive line plugging guys in continue to play this way like they did on Sunday?
Well, you know, Ron, it's really interesting you ask that question, because – you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I remember having conversations going back years and years with coaches, and a lot of coaches will say that the back makes the run game more than the line. Now, obviously, if your line stinks, that's different, but, right. But you know, this line doesn't stink, you know. So Henry is the kind of back. Yeah, Henry's the kind of back that can get yards. So, you know, I think that the offensive line, to me, is not an issue. You know, is it the best O-line in the league? Probably not, if you went, you know, left to right and looked at other offensive lines in the league that are very good. But this is a solid offensive line. They've been together now. I mean, keep in mind, I know Taylor Lewan got hurt. Thankfully, he's not seriously hurt from what I understand. I don't know if that means he plays this week or not. But the point is, he'll be back. It's not going to be a long-term thing. So you got, you know, Lewan and Saffold on the left side. There are times they're phenomenal together. You got Jones, who's been playing a long time. You got Nate Davis now, what, in his third year, is it, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's been a starter since his rookie season. Mm-hmm. Quisenberry's been on the right side all this season. So this has been a line that understands cohesiveness. They've worked together. This is a solid O-line, and they run block effectively. And Henry, we know that Henry is the kind of back that if it's blocked for three, he gets six.
Right.
And right. Sometimes he gets 20. So, I mean, yeah. there's no issue.
76.
Yeah. There's no issue with this O-line in terms of what they want to get accomplished.
Okay. Greg Cosell with us on 3HL. So, having said all that, walk us through that 76-yard touchdown run. What did you see there?
Well, that came out of 11 personnel, meaning they had one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. It was a condensed formation to the wide side of the field. It was essentially an inside zone concept, but it had what we call a duo element, meaning there were two double teams inside. The tough block had to be made by Jeff Swaim on the defensive end, Gregory Rousseau, because he had the one-on-one block to play side. So that's the difficult block, because you expect the double teams to be made because it's two-on-one. So it's the one-on-one block that is really the critical block. And Swaim did an outstanding job of washing Rousseau right down. And then Westbrook Ahina made a phenomenal block on the safety Poyer, who came up to fill. So really, those two one-on-one blocks are the reason the play broke. Because as I said, if you're going to double team, you expect those blocks to be made. They're double teams.
Right. Right. That's spot on.
Greg Cosell with us on 3HL. What did you see defensively from the Titans with Amani Hooker back at safety? Did you see a noticeable positive bump in what they got from the safety position there?
Well, Brent, I'd answer that this way. They had a very defined game plan approach that they stayed with all game. They did not want to give up explosive pass plays. I don't think any team goes into playing the Bills with the idea that we're going to stop the run. If they want to hand it off, that's fine. So what they did is they had a four-man rush pretty much all game. Now, at times, the fourth man was either Long or Molden, and that we call a zone exchange, because it's the fourth rusher is not a D lineman. But it was essentially still a four-man rush. They played a ton of zone coverage. I don't think they played three snaps a man in the entire game. And they tried to do some disguise and late movement to obviously make Josh Allen have to think after the snap of the ball. But the whole plan was to limit explosive plays and play well in the red zone. For the most part, they did that. They got very lucky on the second red zone trip by the Bills when, for whatever reason, and only Josh Allen can answer this, I cannot. He just did not see a wide open Emmanuel Sanders. That might have changed the game. But for the most part, that was their game plan. And they stayed with it the entire game. They were just not going to give up the big pass play.
How would that plan work against the Chiefs?
Rarely does a team, Dawn, do the same thing 2 weeks in a row because it's on tape. I guess the way I'd say that is the specific nature of how they went about doing it is on tape. Can they philosophically and conceptually do something similar? Yes, but it would not be executed tactically the same way because that's on tape. So they would do it, they'd get to it in a different way. But theoretically, you do want to do the same thing because the last thing you want to do, and let's assume Tyreek Hill plays. They bring more speed to the table than the Bills. I mean, Diggs and Sanders are really good, and Beasley is what Beasley is. But there's more speed with the Chiefs, pure speed. You know, if Hill is healthy and plays a meaningful number of snaps, he can just run by people. And that's different than Diggs or Sanders. So you do, that's the last thing you want to give up. Now, I think what's really interesting in this matchup is the strength of the Titans defense has been, believe it or not, their D-line. Their D-line has played well. Landry has been very good rushing the quarterback. Simmons has played really well. I think Autry's starting to play better and is becoming a factor.
Yeah.
And one thing that the Chiefs did last week, because, and people, you know, people rip me on Twitter when I say this, but Mahomes will always put up numbers, but Mahomes has been a little all over the place this year in terms of the way he moves around. He's breaking down when he doesn't need to. He's always capable of the phenomenal play, and he can make those. But last week, because they knew that, they lined up more with two tight ends, and they made protection and emphasis so that he could be secure and comfortable in the pocket because they want to get him back playing that way. He's always going to be capable of the special second reaction movement play, but you got to execute the plays that are there. And it'll be interesting to see the approach they take this week because, as we know, the Titans D-line has been pretty good rushing the quarterback.
Also, Edwards-Helaire not available. How does that change what they do conceptually on offense?
I don't think it changes anything, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, even if Hill either doesn't play or plays limited snaps, I don't think it changes a whole lot of what they do either. Yeah. I think they play the way they play, and they're good at it. You know, they've got a great quarterback, and they play the way they play.
And defensively for their front, if the big fella, Chris Jones, is not in, how does that affect their defensive front and our offensive line controlling this entire game?
Yeah, they've not been a very good defense this year, to be honest with you. And they do a lot of the same things, Ron, they did a year ago. They made a change this week. They replaced Daniel Sorensen, who was a starting safety, with Juan Thornhill, who's a bigger man and a better athlete. It was tough to get a read playing the Washington offense. But I think in their mind, you know, he's just a better player. They've been hurt at corner right now, and I don't know who's back and who's not back, but right now Snead is the right corner. Fenton is the left corner. When they go to their sub defenses, Snead moves inside and Hughes plays right corner, but they've struggled to stop the run. And it's interesting that they have, because the rookie Nick Bolton from Missouri, an SEC player I'm sure you're familiar with, he's a really good run defender. That's the strength of his game. But they have really struggled to stop the run, and they're doing a lot of the same things they did a year ago tactically.
Greg Cosell with us on 3HL. Before we unlock the door, Greg, can you take us through the quarterback sneak attempt at the end and what Jeffrey Simmons was able to get done there?
Well, you know, that's a hard play for me to evaluate because Allen lost his balance. So, you know, he slipped. So I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if that didn't happen.
Greg.
Come on,
Slay said it happened. Said it happened because of Jeffrey.
You mean his back foot slipped because of Jeffrey Simmons?
I feel like it changed his direction and it changed his idea of how to get in the end zone.
Well, you'd
have to ask Josh Allen. I can't answer that.
Okay, from Jeffrey Simmons.
Maybe it did. I don't know, but I certainly can't answer that. And my guess is you probably can't either. But it sounds good.
So the Titans were guessing, I think, that the sneak was coming once he went under center.
Yeah.
And they moved their defensive front. And just
what they did, as soon as he started, I can't remember, did they do it before or as he started moving?
No, he started
moving
in the gun, and then as soon as he
Bro,
went
he started
center,
in the gun, but when did they shift their D-line to the tight, to the reduced look?
I think they were kind of doing it as he was walking up.
As soon as he walked
So we don't know if they were going to do it anyway or if it was a response to his starting to walk up. We don't know that.
Right.
Somebody knows that, but I don't.
But Simmons got across the face of the left tackle, right? And that's how he was able to disrupt.
Right, but what we don't know, and this is, again, you just don't know. You don't know if he didn't slip, if maybe he would have tried to go over the top. We don't know any of this. The point is they stopped him. You know, and that's why they won the game. But that was an interesting drive because it started with Allen going right after Breon Borders, you know, with Simmons for the 31-yarder. And obviously that was planned because Borders was out there. So what's the status of their corners this week? I know Farley's done for the year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fulton's still out. He's on IR. I mean, that's
– right.
It's not pretty.
I was at home watching, and Davenport was in the stadium, and she was like, who else do they have at corner? I go, they're all out on the field. There's nobody else.
I'm like, who's behind them? I don't even know.
Yeah, so they're going to play a ton of zone this week because they just can't match up. So they're going to do
Does Jack Rabbit turn the corner, small. Greg?
What's that?
Does Jack Rabbit turn the corner and make Jack Rabbit-like plays, or is this Jack Rabbit-like plays what he's making right now?
I mean, I don't think that they're going to match him up to Tyreek Hill, if that's what you're asking me. First of all, if Tyreek Hill plays, they move him all around the formation. He's their movement receiver, so he doesn't line up in one place.
Yeah, he was targeted 19 times the last time the Chiefs played in Nissan Stadium.
Now he only played, I think, 37 snaps last week because of that quad injury. I don't know. I know he didn't practice yesterday. I haven't seen anything about today. But so many guys now, this is the killer when you're trying to, you know, build my matchup show, for instance, or just talk, is so many veterans now are going to sit out of practice on Wednesday, and you just don't know if that's precautionary or if they really have an injury because there's an extra game, and, you know, they just are going to sit guys out.
There he is. He's Greg Cosell, at Greg Cosell on Twitter. Give him a follow. The Install Podcast with Buck Rising. And Greg Cosell, that's a must listen to deal each week as well, as is his visit with us every Thursday at 4:20. Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.